Our scripture lesson today is from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, reading verses 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying. And they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's a special day. I don't know if you realize this day, I enter my fifth year as pastor of Trinity. Thank you very much. And they said it wouldn't last. I'm kidding. But yeah, you know, 4 years ago, just finished the fourth year, 4 years ago, you know, 2019. And it's been good. It's been really good. And, you know, when I came here, people were saying, "How long do you think you'll be there?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, I'm just going to see where this goes and where God leads us." And I still get that. I don't know if you do or not, but people say, how much longer are you going to be there? It's like, do they not want me to be here? I mean, it's like, what's the deal? And so, you know, I try not to, you know, just be kind of flip about it. But what I start thinking about, you know, is like they're going, you know, where do you go from here? And where I think about is from Psalm 119, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that is kind of what I operate on. And if you look at that psalm, it's not a scripture lesson, but I'll tell you about it anyway. This is a bonus. The lamp to your feet is like you're walking at night on a trail. And the lamp shows you the next step. It shows you the roots and the stones you have to step over. The light to our path just shows you generally those street lights, you know, where the path is going, kind of generally, but it doesn't show you all the detail. It just shows you kind of the general direction. And here's what I'd like to do with you. I'd like to flip this and turn it to you and say, where are you going from here today? Where are you going to go this year, this 2023? Where are you going to go? Where do you go from here? So it's so easy. We know when I'm not preaching, I'm listening to other preachers and stuff, and so easy to not let preaching be real. It really is. You just got to go, "Oh, it's out there." You know? So I want it to be real. I want you to really think about your life right now. Where are you going? Where's your life going to go? Where are you hoping it will go in this next year? And one of the things I think is true is we know the next step, right? We got the lamp to our feet. We know what we got to get through today and tomorrow and this week. And that's really what's at the forefront of our minds. But there is that light to our path that we might miss. And so I just want you to think about what is your life to your path here. Maybe just think of what would you like to have happen? Where would you like to go? Maybe, and I know this is from people in our congregation, so I'm just saying stuff. Maybe this year I finally beat this disease that I've had to fight in the last few years. Maybe this is the year I finally get over it. Maybe it will be the year that I'm able to overcome this depression I have. I think January is hard on me, it really. It's after Christmas, all that's over with, and it's cold, and it's a lot of times it's dark, and it gets dark early. It's easy to kind of be down in January. Maybe this year I will finally see what my purpose for being in this world is. Maybe this year I'll find a special relationship. Maybe this year I'll get a job I actually like or decide on a major. I Googled, just for fun, what are you looking for? And see which would come up, the most Google things. And it gives you nine. It gives you nine at once. And so I'm going to do this kind of like some of you might remember David Letterman's top 10. Okay, this is the top nine that came up when I Googled, what are you looking for? And number nine, is what are you looking for in a partner? Number eight, what are you looking for in a mentor? Number seven, what are you looking for in an employer? These are, actual searches people have done, how often they've done them. Number six, what are you looking for in an internship? Number five, what are you looking for in a residency program? Number four, what are you looking for in a company? Number three, what are you looking for in a university? Number two, what are you looking for in a job? And the number one thing that people were searching for. The number one, Paul, give me a, what are you looking for in a relationship? That was the number one. And that covers a lot. It doesn't just mean a person. It means what that relationship's like. And so those are those searches. And they may have been your searches. They may have been my searches. And so the thing I want us to remember as we look at the scripture today is that history is his story. History is the story of God working in the world. And so our story is part of God's story too. And I said this a bunch of times. I learned it back in college and it just keeps coming up. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's up to us to find it. It's up to us to seek it. And we get so distracted by the lamp to our feet, this next step, that we forget about the way the path's going to go. And so today we're going to think about your path, okay? Your path this next year, what your path is, and what you want, what you're looking for in this life. This story, one of the things you have to remember about this story is it happened. It's not a parable. This is something that really happened. This is a conversation that happened. And if you skip to the end of this passage, it is how John, the disciple of Jesus, and Andrew and Peter were first introduced to Jesus. Do you see that? And so, presumably, Jesus knows everything that's ahead of him, and Jesus knows what's going to happen with these guys. And you got to read it through that lens because it's amazing how Jesus handles this situation with so much at stake. And in the Gospel of John, what happens, you know, is funny. The Gospel of John, Jesus never really see him get baptized by John. He gets baptized in Mark. He gets baptized in Matthew. You never really see John baptize him. He just says, "I saw the Spirit descend on him like a dove." But after this, he calls Philip and Nathaniel, and then after that is the miracle of the wine and the water at his mom's wedding. You know, the wedding when he says, "I'm not ready." And so that's the context of this. But this conversation took place, and this is how the very first time that Simon Peter and Andrew and John were with Jesus, and I don't know if some of you who've gone to Bible study know that we have always thought it was a little bit abrupt when Jesus calls the four fishermen, you know, and he just kind of goes, "Follow me," and they go, "Okay," and they do it. And this if you put this in there, it's like, okay, they've known each other for a while, because it says they go and stay in Capernaum together. Okay, so just giving you that kind of context. Just remember, it's a real, real conversation. And, you know, if I were Jesus in that thing and I saw those guys, I'd be like, "Hey, man, we're going to be best friends. You aren't going to believe what's going to happen. We're going to be great." But that's not the way Jesus handled it. So let's look at it. Believe it or not, Jesus didn't handle it the way I would, which is... Whose side are you going to be on that one? Okay, so the first thing, it's very clear that John the Baptist has been looking for the Messiah his whole life. You know, you look at Luke and Elizabeth and Mary were related, they were kinswomen, it says, but it's not any clear at all that John and Jesus had ever met each other. And all John the Baptist knows is that he is preparing the way for the Messiah. He is looking. And, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of people he probably baptized, but I bet you he looked in every single person's face and was like, "Okay, is this it? Is this the guy? You know, is this it?" You know, really probably hundreds and hundreds of people that he was baptizing. He's always on the lookout. He's looking for that. I remember one time at Christmas, this is when Mindy was little, she had asked for a PlayStation for Christmas. And so she starts going through the Mindy pile, and it's like she gets one package and goes, "Nope," throws it aside. Throws another one aside. She gets it. And then when she finally got the PlayStation, that's it. Okay. She knew what she was looking for. And so John the Baptist knew what he was looking for too. And so he's looking and looking. And finally, when he sees Jesus and the Spirit comes down, he says to him, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Man, that is a powerful statement. And I could spend the whole sermon on that sentence right there. But if you have had sin in your life that's your sin, or you've been hurt in your life by other people's sin, Jesus takes that away. You know, it's true you did it, or it's true it was done to you, and you know that's just part of your life. But Jesus takes that and heals that. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he says in verse 31, "I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason." So he says, "I did not know him." And he says it again in verse 33, "I did not know him, but he was looking for him." And when you know what you're looking for, when you see it, you find it. And that's important right now when you think about your life coming up. If you know what you're looking for, if you know what you're trying to find in your life, if you're trying to find Jesus, trying to find God's hand in your life, doing stuff with you, you'll see it. And you're much more likely to see it if you know, if you're looking for it, than if you're not looking for it. The two of his disciples, and one's unnamed, but we think it's John, because John does that in this gospel. He doesn't name himself. And the other was Andrew. They hear him say, "Behold, the Lamb of the world, the Messiah." And they just start walking away from John. And that's okay with John, which it would not be okay with a lot of preachers for people just to walk away. But he's okay with him. And so they walk away. And then this is the coolest, coolest part of this. And again, I already told you what my reaction would be if I was Jesus and I knew what was going to happen with all these guys. Jesus turns and sees them walking after. It's almost like a dog following him down the road. And he turns and he says to them, "What are you looking for?" And that stops them. By the way, that is the first words of Jesus in this gospel. What are you looking for? And it's our word today too, you and me. What are we looking for? Jesus is asking, what are you looking for? And so it's amazing to me that everything that's on the line here about his disciples and about his work and all this, that he allows them to opt out there. They could have just gone, "Oh, no, man, no, nothing. We're just walking." You know, I mean, he allows them to not follow. And so, you know, we can now opt out too. But if Jesus says that to you, what are you looking for? Relationship, you know, all those things we just saw on Google. How would you answer that? Big picture, not this week, not this day, but in your life in the next year, what are you looking for? And Jesus is asking you that. What do you want? What do you want? And so then this crazy, this happens in families a lot. People, they don't answer each other's questions. You know, they kind of go across each other. Jesus says, what are you looking for? And they don't answer. They say, where are you staying? They have a question. But the key to that is this one word, rabbi. Rabbi, where you stand, because that means teacher. John explains to us it means teacher. Teacher. In other words, they're wanting for him to teach them. And the cool thing about this is that when he says, when they say, where you stand, they're saying, we want to experience you. We want to see you. We want to understand who you are in your life. We don't want to just hear your words. We want to know you. And that's what all this whole thing about church and God and Bible study and everything is all about, is about us knowing God, us knowing Jesus. And that's what they were doing. They were saying, we want to know you. Where do you stay? So verse 39, he says to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying. You know, it's like, where are you staying? It would be so easy to give them an address. One at 13,000 Blues Farm Road, put it in your GPS, you can get there. But that's not what they said. Jesus said, come and see. I've talked to y'all about this devotional website and app called D365. I really recommend it. Every time I preach, I look at it because it's usually on the lectionary. And this week, a woman named Jane Clasby Nemeth was writing. And here's what she was saying. She said, last summer, I was working on a home repair project, and I needed adhesive so I could finish my project. So I went to the hardware store, and I asked the store owner, where is your adhesive? The store owner didn't tell me aisle 12. Instead, he said, come this way. And he went with me back through the store, and as we walked, he asked me about my project, and then he took down a tube from the shelf and explained to me how I should use it. And I left with the correct adhesive and the confidence that I could finish my project. And in this passage, two of John's disciples also asked a simple question. They want to know where Jesus is staying, and rather than merely giving them an address, Jesus invites them to come and see, and he walks with them. Like the store owner, Jesus knew that the disciples needed more than an address. They needed direction, guidance, and fellowship with him, and that is what he offered. And so Jesus is saying that to us, come and see. You know, you want to live into this year without that disease you've been fighting? You can do it on your own, or you can give it to Jesus and come and see what that's like. All those things that we mentioned, if you're looking, you know, to find a partner of a special relationship, give that to Jesus. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Come and see what Jesus will do. Walk with Jesus through it. Don't just do it on your own. It's too hard to do it on your own. the whole choice is whether we do this with Jesus or without. That's it. It's as simple as that. And that is in your life and in my life, but it's also in the life of this church. You know, you can get all involved in just doing the work of the church and sort of realize that God has a will. God has a plan. God has stuff that God wants us to do in his plan. And I'm telling you, Session has got some really exciting stuff that we're looking at for this next year. And as we're ordaining these elders and installing them today, part of that is saying, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And do you want to go with Jesus? And Jesus saying, come and see. Walk with me. Don't do it on your own. Walk with me. So what are you looking for? Tomorrow is Martin Luther King holiday. And so I wanted to quote something from Martin Luther King today. And I don't know if you've ever read his biography. But, you know, we kind of know who he was. I remember when he was assassinated. I was in 10th grade at Scotland High School when he was assassinated. It was a bad, bad year. Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated about the same time. And so I never really read a lot of his thoughts and struggles. And I never thought that he might have realized that he was in danger and that he might have felt fear. But this is about three paragraphs, so it's a little bit long, but try to pay attention because it's really amazing. It's him talking about what he was looking for in his life and how he was afraid to take the next step. He says, I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. People are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything. That is a powerful statement. And I think all of us have that moment where we try to do it as far as we can on our own strength, whatever yours is, and get to that moment of, I can't do it. And that's when if we're going to follow Jesus, we give it to Jesus. Jesus says, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And that's when we tell him. I want to close with a song. Those of you who were for the pre-service singing sang it, but we're going to sing it now as a congregation. And like I said, it's from Psalm 119. The music is Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith. But, I want you to think especially of these elders who are being ordained, what this means about finding God's guidance in all of this. Try to sing this with me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear,
As long as you are near, please be near me to the end. Thy love is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy love is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. To my feet and a light unto my path. Thy is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Nice. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that so many times we try to do it ourselves. So many times we just look at the next step and not at the path that you've lit before us. Lord, right now we give our lives to you again, afresh, anew. We give you our hopes and our dreams. We give you where we go from here. And we want to see you. We want to walk with you and see you with us. And whether that's getting out of sickness or whether that is something at work or at school or in a relationship or with our emotions, Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to take that step with you and walk that path with you. In Jesus' name, amen.